Good evening, everyone, and we have some things that we're gonna go through later today. So maybe also I'm gonna go through some, or continue to go through some of the thoughts from the conference in Lviv. This message might be a little bit short, depending on how God leads. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this evening. We thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to meet as a church, as a body. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies and the things that people have shared here earlier today. And we want to pray more later, but we want to lift up these things right now also. And we pray also that you will just take these few words and thoughts and make something great out of them so that we will be blessed. We thank you, we praise you in your precious name. Amen. So, most of you I have already met since I came back, but Mesrek, for example, I have not. So I just want to send greetings from Lviv in western Ukraine. It was an amazing time. People came from all over the Ukraine, obviously, also from Russia, also from Hungary, good group, some from Poland. So we had, you know, people from pretty much all over Eastern Europe, Central Europe. I also have greetings, actually, from Anita. Yeah, I know she wrote a couple of people. Greetings from her. And I have so many thoughts that I can share with you afterwards, but one thought that came to my mind, and I'm stealing a thought here from Pastor Barry Quirk, which is Holly's younger brother. He has been living in Budapest now for, I think he said, 9 years. And he said that they wanted to go there for, they said, okay, 1 year.
Yeah.
1 year. And then his wife told him, oh, I don't know, 1 year. I think we will be there 5 years, she said. And then he said, no, 1 year. And then now he said 9 years.
Oh.
And but, well, there were so many precious portions. But there was just one thought that he brought out, and I just want to expand on that a little bit here. But let's turn to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. And we know the story in 1 Kings 18. It's about Elijah. He's facing the prophets of Baal. Israel is deep into idolatry, and the whole nation has given into this thing, and they're offering sacrifices to Baal and all this. And we know the story, how Elijah was, for 3.5 years, nobody was, it wasn't raining, you know, God stopped the rain, and Elijah was first fed by the ravens, and then by a widow, and all these things, and then finally he came out, and he met the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And remember the story. He said, okay, this is the deal, here's an altar, you know, you can offer a sacrifice, I can offer a sacrifice. And we'll see who will answer by fire. You know, will it be Baal? Well, then he's God. And if it's the Lord, well, then he's God. And the people say, yeah, that's fair, you know. And they all agreed upon that. And then we see that the prophets of Baal, actually, they put their sacrifice there, and then they started to... I don't know what they did, but they were screaming, they were making a lot of noise, they were cutting themselves, they were doing all kinds of things. And then in verse 29, it says this, and when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering. Until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. I like that. There was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. And isn't that really a picture of this world? Isn't this a picture of religion? You can go into a church somewhere, a dead church, there's somebody there screaming, crying, whatever it is, you know, and there's no answer. Dead religion. And there is so much religion in this world. There's so much energy of the flesh, but there's no answer. And I was just thinking about what it says in John 15 and verse 3. It says that we are clean through the word which the Lord has spoken. We are clean because of the word which the Lord has spoken. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can wake up in the morning, I can wake up in the middle of the night, I can go to bed in the evening, it can be during lunchtime, I don't care, it can be any time, and I feel anything or everything but clean, you know what I mean? In my mind, in my whatever, you know. And nevertheless, the Bible says that we are clean. And it's quite interesting. I think this thought also came from Pastor Scheller at some point. But in Acts 11 and verse 9, Peter was having this vision where there was a sheet that came down from heaven, and there were all kinds of animals on it, and he said, kill and eat. And of course, many of those animals were unclean to the Jewish people. And he said, no way, never, ever. You know, I would never do that because I'm Jewish, I know what our law says, you know. But then God said, no, don't call unclean or common what God has said is clean. And now this is about food, but what about us? You know, we can say that we are unclean. We can say this. We can say, but no, that's not true. We cannot call ourselves unclean. We cannot call ourselves common, because God has declared us clean through His Word. And I like that thought a lot, actually. In the book of Psalms, it says that why, soul, are you cast down? And it's so easy to be cast down by the daily details, by all these type of things. And we don't want that, you know, because we are clean. Mm-hmm. And in 1 Corinthians 6:11, in the previous verses there, it says that, yeah, you used to be this and that, and he's making a list of half a dozen things. But then it says, but now you're clean, and this is what you used to be. So, but it's so easy for us to think that we really are what we used to be, or what we were before we were saved, and so on. And even though the flesh might still manifest these things, and even though our thoughts are sometimes not right or clean or whatever, in the eyes of God, we are clean. And we are not to call ourselves common. We are not to call anyone else common. But we should just accept what God has said about us. And it's so amazing to see that God, he answered Elijah by fire, or with fire, and it was so different These Baal prophets, I mean, they just spent so much energy. They were doing all these things, but there was no answer. You know, and that's how it is in this world. There are no answers in this world. It doesn't matter how much energy we use, but when God answers, He answers from heaven. And if you remember, I shared this thought also, a thought from Pastor Matti, when he was talking about this pool where these lame people, handicapped people, were laying. And at least according to tradition, there was a time every year or ever so often when an angel came down and stirred up the waters. And if the first one that made it into to that water then were supposed to be healed. We don't really know if it really happened or if it was just something that like a tradition or a myth or something that people believed in. But if it happened, we don't think it was an angel from God, because that's not the nature of God. I mean, God is not mocking us, you know, saying that, hey, let's see who's going to make it here first. That person will be healed. And when Jesus came, he didn't talk to this man and he didn't say, hey, wait a minute here. I know what I can do for you. I can help you. Next time the angel comes and stirs up the water, I'll make sure that you make it in there. You know, you be the first one. He didn't say that. He just told him and said, do you want to be healed? You know, and I love that. You know, God has, you know, he's not randomly picking some people to be healed or to be this or to be that, but he's always there. You know, and he's asking this question: do you want to be healed? You know, do you want to be touched by me? Do you want an answer? And I'm there. I'm available to do it. And many times we think that we don't deserve that answer. You know, I mean, why pray? You know, because I'm so dirty, I'm so unclean. You know, the thoughts that went through my head today or what I did yesterday or whatever it is, I'm thinking like, why even pray? But it says about Elijah, actually, that he was a man just like you and I. This is in the book of James. He was a man just like you and I. And he prayed. And heaven was closed for 3.5 years. It didn't rain. Then he prayed again, and heaven opened up, and it rained. But he had power with God. We have power with God, not because we have earned that or deserved that or whatever, but simply because He has declared us clean. He has said that we are clean through His Word. And whatever God has declared to be clean, we should not call common. And I love to apply that also in our lives, about ourselves and about, you know, the body of Christ. You know, we are candidates to get an answer from God. You know, we are only a confession away from God's perfect will. I like that thought. You know, sometimes you think, okay, I messed up my life so badly, and how far back do I have to go to start all over again? How much do I have to repair? How much do I have to do to make up for what I have done? But it says, no. You know, you're already clean, all we need to do is to have our feet washed. Because, you know, positionally we are clean, but in our walk sometimes we get dirty, and we need to have our feet clean. So why, soul, are you cast down? We can ask ourselves that question. And it's so easy. I mean, this world, I don't know where it's heading, but, or we do know where other words head is, but you know, it's an expression. It's just amazing. I mean, every day you read a newspaper, or if you do that, or even if you don't do it, you cannot avoid it. You hear people talking and all that. I mean, you know, the world is not becoming more godly, exactly. We're just wondering, like, how far are we, you know, as far as the timeline, how much time is left, you know, before the rapture, and what will the last days be like for us? We know in the Bible, you know, that it, this is going to happen and so on, but we are wondering, what is it going to be like for us? And we don't know, but we do know one thing. We have a God who has declared us clean through his word. We have a God who is in heaven waiting to answer our prayers. Because he's not a respecter of persons. He answered Elijah. He will answer us when we have our encounters with the prophets of Baal. Not necessarily literally speaking, but figuratively speaking, because there's a lot of idolatry in this world. You know, he's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful. And I'm just thinking about Elijah also, how for 3.5 years he was being prepared for that one day encounter. And so much of what we do is preparation. And many times we say, no, I don't have time to prepare. I just have to act. You know, I have to do this, I have to do that. But things are done so much smoother if we are prepared, you know. And it says actually in the book of Proverbs that if we don't sharpen our axe, we have to use more power, you know. And that is true. I mean, when you take that time to sharpen the axe or the tool that we're using, we need to use less power. And, you know, it always pays off to prepare. So I like this event here that happened, Elijah versus the Baal prophets. And, you know, the world wants an answer. The world has a false system which it trusts in, and there is no answer there, you know. They can scream and shout and cut themselves and what have you, and there will be no answer. But God is faithful and he will answer us. Amen.
Amen.